one. That's actually, unfortunately, a very important topic. Everyone encounters it. Even if they're not in medicine, unfortunately, everybody encounters that. And there's a lot to talk about. It's another thing people don't realize. It's not pashut at all. And then, the next one. So someone had asked for Megiyah and Histaklos and Yichud, those type of inyanim. Is that okay with everyone? Should we do that? Okay, we'll do that. All right. Today we're going to do something that, in the limited number of times that we got together here, so I wanted to pick the things that I thought were most common, most commonly encountered. So we did, you know, aside from returning and driving and becoming a doctor altogether and all that stuff, we had done ksiva, because that's definitely one of the most commonly encountered things for someone who's going to be either a resident, a fellow, even sometimes an attending. Ksiva, very common. What do you think the next most common thing encountered is? If you're working on Shabbos as a resident or a fellow, for sure this is the most common, which is things that have to do with chavala, right? It's like drawing blood, IVs, injections, and we'll see all sorts of taps, right? We're going to go over all these. There are a lot of different interventions. I know that a lot of you haven't really done anything yet, but I'll describe them in case you haven't seen them yourselves or done them. And we'll talk about doing them and then preparing for them and after them. All the issues of Shabbos, and they're very, very significant ones. So for this, we have to really get into the malacha of Chovel. Chovel is a very interesting malacha in that there's a major machlokas rishonim exactly what the malacha of Chovel is. Right? And there are two makoros for it. There are two gemaras that deal with it. One, here on page one, is the famous opening mishnah to Shmona Shratzim. And here there's a chiluk when it introduces this malacha of Chovel. So the mishnah introduces it with a chiluk that requires explanation, and the explanation of that chiluk will lead to the various shittos of Rishonim, exactly what is this malacha. So what's the chiluk? So it says Shmona Shratzim ha'amurim b'Torah, right? We'll skip Seda for now. The Chovel behen chayev ushar shkatzim v'ramashim ha'chovel behen pater. So there's a chiluk like this. The Shmona Shratzim, what's unique to the Shmona Shratzim? What do they all have in common that the others don't have? Anyone know? Or skin. They have an outer skin. And something about that is the setup for the fact that if you're chovel those, you're chayev. But if you're chovel the other ones that don't have the skin, you're pater. So that becomes the issue. What's responsible for this chiluk of yes, if there's skin, and no, if there's no skin. So three shittos. Rashi really mentions two of them, but he's always given, it's interesting, Rashi's always given as the one who says tzoveya is the malacha, which is one of the weakest shittos, as you'll see soon. But in truth, Rashi really says netilas neshama like most Rishonim, because he offers both over here, and you get definitely the idea that he favors that one. But let's just talk about tzoveya for a second. So how's tzoveya come out of this Mishnah? And why is tzoveya really a malacha altogether? Because remember, what's the important thing? When we want to paskin issues that are going to come up, and we're looking to always go from Daraisa to Darabana, right? We don't want to be dealing with malachas. Even with the Chalashish Basakana, we want to avoid malachas as much as possible. Especially, as we're going to talk about today, we're going to get into ancillary needs of the Chalashish Basakana. Right, everyone remember that? Let's just review that quickly. You could do anything for a Chalashish Basakana if it relates to the Sakana, right? That's Pasha. But an ancillary need, which doesn't directly relate to the Sakana, then Machlokes, right? And we paskin like the Ramah, at least the Ashkenazim do. And the Ramah says you cannot necessarily do the ancillary needs with the Daraisa. You can't treat it like a Chol HaShem B'Sakana. So we're very, very interested in always, and what can you do for Chol HaShem B'Sakana? Right? This should all be like reflexive, immediate. The more reflexive and immediate these type of things are, the easier you'll have to navigate all the things that are going to be coming up spontaneously. So what can a Chol HaShem B'Sakana, what can we do? You could do a Mila Nachum for sure, right? Otherwise, Yisrael could do a Darabanan B'Shinoi, Or b'shas atchak, like Rosh Hashanah Zaman, we're going to use that. You can do any derabanan, or you can do amir l'nachri to daraisa. Right, very good. Okay, so good. Right, shinoy on a daraisa. Right. Certainly, you can do amir l'nachri. Right. So, what are the things that make a malacha into a derabanan as opposed to a daraisa? What are the two things we want to look at? Right, we want to look at the defining elements of the Mishkan, how we define this malacha. In order to be a daraisa, it's got to be like the malacha, one of the avos in the Mishkan. And the second avenue always is melechas machshavas, right? So we're going to be using both of those here as well. So, should have said this first, but right now we're dealing with the defining features of the malacha. So, what is the malacha of chavalah in the Mishkan, and how is it going to relate to tzoveya? Let's say Rashi Shita over here by Shmona Shratzit. So what was Chavala in the, where was Chovel in the Mishkan? Well, that's what we're looking for, right? That's the whole discussion here. Where was it? What is this malacha? So Rashi said Tzoveya. Tzoveya because he knows that Shratzim that have an oar and you make them bleed, right? So that's going to be Tzoveya, the oar. But if there is no oar, there won't be anything that will be Tzoveya. So that's how he explains this opening chiluk to some degree. The weakness, of course, of Tzoveya is going to be all the sugyas and chas that deal with Chavalah. It's going to be very hard to fit Tzoveya in there. What does that have to do with, you know, we're going to talk about Dam Besulim, we're going to talk about Mila, you know, what does that have to do with Tzoveya? Right? We're going to talk about Chaburi Mechbar versus Nifkot Pokid. What is that going to have to do? We'll go over what that means very soon. What does that have to do with Tzoveya? So we're going to put Tzoveya aside, and we're not going to worry about it. What we are going to worry about is two other shitas. The main shita, Rov Rishonim, and it's over here in the Tosfos HaRosh, and the Ramban, and the Rashba, and the Meiri, and all the Rishonim except for whom? The Rambam, as we'll see soon. Basically understand that Chavala is Netilas Neshama, Shchita, right? And Shchita, we know, took place in the Mishkan for the animals, for the hides we need of those animals, etc. And what's the malach of Shchita in the Mishkan? What's exactly going on? You're killing the animal to get something, right? You have a tzorach. You want to get some part of that animal, so therefore you're killing the animal. That's Netilas Neshama. So how's Chavala coming out of Netilas Neshama? Isn't Netilas Neshama mean mamish killing? And Chavala just means wounding, making somebody bleed, right? And, you know, the way the Rishonim, by the way, explain this Mishnah, in terms of what's the difference or versus not or, why is there that chiluk? So the way it's explained, you see in the Tosfos HaRosh explains it over here, and they all basically say the same thing. It works like this. If it's a Shmona Shratzim and you make it bleed, but the blood doesn't come out, right, that's still Chavala. So bruising somebody is Chavala. But if it was one of the Shratzim that doesn't have a skin, so is there such a thing as Chavala by them? Yes, for sure. But what will happen? The blood will escape. It'll just bleed out. It won't be retained. If it's retained in those animals, it's not Chavala. It's Potter. Why is it not Chavala? Because clearly what? Here's the key. It never left the circulation. It never left the blood, a blood vessel. And if blood just comes out, it blanches, or there's flushing, right, as occurs, that's obviously not Chavala. If you know, somebody gets a knock or something, but it doesn't come out, it doesn't create an ecchymosis, which is like a bruise, some sign that there was bleeding, then it's not Chavala. But all you need is it to move out of the circulation, somehow break a capillary, break a vein, break an artery, and come out, and then it's going to be Chavala daraisa. Chavala daraisa. So,
but if it doesn't have skin, so
it's just going to bleed out. It'll bleed.
Then it'll die.
Well, I mean, let's say it doesn't have to die. Let's just say it bleeds for a little bit and stops. But either way, it's still going to be Chavala. You don't have to die. That's why is that true? Right. So we'll see in a second. Right. Where's the Tosfos HaRosh getting this from? What's he basing this on? So actually, go to page 3 quickly. Very famous. So who went to YU a few years ago, 2 years ago, last year? Right? No, you didn't. Anyone who did, learn Ksuvos, and the very famous sugi over here on the Avdal Amadeus, by Dam Basulim, right? The opening discussion over there is about Chavala. So before we get into Mifka Pakid and Chaburi Mechbar, which is going to be very important, Tosos over here really goes to, at great length to describe exactly why just bruising somebody, just Chavala, is the malacha of Netilas Neshama. And he explains it, it's really a Gezeiras HaKasav. There's a Havamina that, you know what it is, that you're, when you're bruised, and when you're bleeding a little, you're weakened. And maybe that's what it is. We're weakening, that was the objective. Weaken so you can capture, or weaken, maybe that's the malacha. But he rejects that. Because we're not, in the context of Mila and Dam Basulim, we're certainly not looking to weaken anybody. And yet still, those are malachas. The Gemara treats them in both scenarios as a malacha. So what is it? It's a Gzeres HaKasa, basically, Hadamu HaNefesh, that, and this is one of the rayas for Rav Shechter's view on brain death. Speaking of brain death, somebody mentioned brain death before, right? Rav Shechter holds a big, very original shita by brain death, but no one else holds this way, that it's related to circulation based on Damu HaNefesh, right? But here's one of the sugyas that he cites, which is the fact that this Tosos, that Damu HaNefesh tells me that any blood that's removed from circulation, the life force, is Netilas Nisham. Mali Katla Palga, Mali Katla Kula. It's like that type of concept. And for that reason, Rov Rishonim hold that that's what Chavala is. It's the Malach of Netilas Nishama, even if it's just a little bleeding. This is going to be very important for all the things we do, because we do a lot of bleeding of people. We make people bleed frequently. So now we got to decide, you know, wow, when is it okay? What about if it's a Chol Shem HaSakana? There's going to be, especially if you don't have a Shabbos residency, here's one of the other pitfalls. Many pitfalls we always come up if you don't have a Shabbos residency. Clearly, there's great advantage to having one if you can, right? But if you can't, again, as in fellowship, very few people get that opportunity. I don't, this issue will definitely come up. You'll have to do sometimes bleeding things, drawing blood, etc., etc., IM injections, subcutaneous injections, IV injections, to Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. So we're going to have to, like, navigate that. We'll get there once we get through the background. So we have the Shita, again, of Rashi, which we're not going to worry about, Saveya. We have Rov Rishonim, Hussein and Tilis Neshama, and now, on page 2, we have the famous Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't like this whole idea of Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. Could be because it's hard to find a Mefurash Gemara that darshins it out that way. But the Rambam, so what does he hold about Shechita? What's the Malach of Shechita for the Rambam? Mamish, killer. It's got to be a Shechita Gamra, an Atilish Neshama Gamra. None of this partial stuff. So what's the Malach of Rambam? What's going on by Mila, by Dam Basulim, by these Suyas? What is going on? So he says it's Disha. It's a told of Disha. What is Dash? What's the Malach of Dash? Tresha. Right? So what's the Malach of Dash? What's going on over there? Sorry, separate is a very... You got to... What do you separate? Well, right. So let's, you have wheat, right? Wheat kernels have attached to it chaff, right? So when you talk about separating, you got to be careful. Separating is like Bora-type separating, and then threshing-type separating. Threshing, what's the difference? Big difference. Nothing to do with each other, really. Threshing means you break the natural connection, even though they're going to be in a tarovis, by definition, because in order to get through Sidur the Pas and all the malachos, it's by definition, Bora is on a tarovis. So clearly, you're still mixed up. It's still mixed together, right? But what does dash do? What does threshing do? It cracks that connection. It cracks the natural connection. So really, textbook dash, threshing, is just cracking the wheat from the chaff's connection, even though they're mixed together, and then you got to do Zohar, Bor, and Merakid, and all the rest of it, right? But there's another form of disha called schita, which is what? What does it sochet mean? Schita? Is squeezing out, right, from, let's say, its natural habitat, right, for lack of a better word. It's that really, on a deraisa level, it's going to be zeisim v'anavim, really only, that you squeeze out the juice from the food, right? That would be schita. Mefarik which is, let's say, milking a cow or milking something, is going to be also a tolda of dash. It's going to be taking out, extracting the liquid from its source. So the Rambam comes along and he says, Hadash kigrogeres chayev, vein disha elu begidule karka. He's talking about standard dash. Then he gets into a mefarek harehu tolda de dash, hacholev es habehema chayev mishum mefarek, v'chein hachovel bechay sheyesh lo or chayev mishum mefarek, v'hu sheyeh tzerech ledam. So this is going to be very important what the Rambam does here. He goes, and he says, all right, so let's start with animals. If I go with my Shmoneh Shratzim or other animals and I bruise them, and the blood gets out, right, the blood is released from its containment, that's going to be a form of disha. It's going to be a tolda of mefarek. But you're only chayv midareisa if it's derech tikkun, where you need the dam. But then the Rambam adds in halacha ches a very important addition. Bamedvar mamurim bechovel bebehema v'chayv of ukiyotze behem aval hachovel bechaveiro. And you know, be very careful about this. Afal pish in iskaven lahazik chayev mipnei nachas rucho sharei niskara daito ushikacha ushicha chamaso v'reu kimasaki. The Rambam introduces a very fascinating idea. We're used to it by what malacha? By korea, right? Korea meso, korea. There's another discussion elsewhere in Shams. But over here, the Rambam is introducing it by chovel, that if you punch your friend or brother, then be careful that you don't bruise them. Because if you do, that's a malacha, right? And even though there's no, you're not looking for that dam, you're not going to make use of the dam, hopefully, if you're normal, and there's no necessary tikkun in the cheftzah shel malacha, your brother, but obviously you feel somewhat relieved, or some type of catharsis there for you. So that would make it a daraisa. Now, why is this important for us, in more serious terms, is because when the Rambam throws this out there, he opens up now a potential for great chumrah in defining something as a tikkun and then staying as a malacha daraisa when we're going to try to like always move it down to a derabanan by using melechas machshavas. So now he just upped the stakes a lot by saying it's not just tzarech ladam, right? If it would have just stopped it, you need the dam, so drawing blood for giving it to someone else or for a blood test, that would be, you know, the only blood drawing that's daraisa. But now, any tikkun at all, very interesting. Any tikkun, like, for example, bloodletting. Anyone do any bloodletting? So, Kazas Dam is all over the Gemara. But it actually does exist in medicine. Anyone know what context? What? Polycythemia, right? I remember one of the most dreaded patients to get that when I was a resident was the ones that needed this. So now, who needed it were... where you needed to really take out blood and put in blood and the whole thing. It was a nightmare because there's like multiple IVs and they had to stay in for hours, right? And we're actually doing on Kazas Dam because you want to drop, you don't want to drop it too precipitously, you don't want to drop somebody who's, who gets polycythemic? More commonly than that, a cyanotic patient is going to get polycythemic. So you got to be very careful because they need it. If they're polycythemic because they're hypoxic, you still getting all this? So then there's a reason why they become polycythemic, because they're hypoxic, so they're trying to compensate with a higher hematocrit, more oxygen carrying, right? But over there, it gets to a point of sludging and danger. So that's why you will take out their blood. Now, obviously, that's Sakanas Nefashos. So that won't be much of a problem. But there are times when you do it on a partially elective basis, right? Sicklers. There are other scenarios where it's going to be a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana setting, and now it's a tikkun in the gavra. You don't need that blood, you're going to throw it out. But you're being misaki in the gavra, that becomes an issa d'oraisa. So we'll have to see how we navigate that. I saw one sefer wrote about doing it b'shino, and I was like, oh my god, what are they saying? Thankfully, at the end of the paragraph where they said, do this b'shino, you know, put IV in b'shino. What shinoi is that? You know, like, we're going to You gonna do it with your opposite hand or something? I go, oh my God, this is crazy. What? And so, yeah, a little crazy. So they talk about using either a forceps or some type of clamp to insert the IV. I don't think it's a good etza. We're going to talk practically very soon. Don't do that. Okay, good. In all due respect to the Sefer, I just think it's okay. They do write at the end, please, before you do this, talk to your posek. So I second that. Talk to your posek and don't even think about doing it. All right. One more little bit of background. So we have now to deal with whatever we're going to talk about, all our chavala cases, right? We have potentially an etilus neshama and what that means. And we have the Rambam Shita, which is that it's disha, that it's a form of schita. What's the difference? Who cares? Both of them are malachos. Are there any nafkaminas? Anyone think of any? Big ones. Big ones. Excellent. That's a great one. We'll get to that in a second. Huh? If the patient's already dead. Good. That's a good one. We'll see. Anyone know what he's talking about? We'll see in a minute. Another one, let's start more basic. The shear. The shear. What is the shear for disha, for schita? Kegrogeros. The Rambam said it, right? Now, what's the shear for mezdilas neshama? Kolshu. Any amount. Now, does that really matter? Are we ever going to be, how much blood is the kegrogeros? Is that the issue? No, the reason it's an afkamina, because, you know, this chatzi shir and it's asamina Torah, so you're never going to really be saying, oh, I'll just take out a little and I'll be good to go. It becomes big in an area called marbe b'shir, which we're going to talk about. The following case. Let's say you have an ICU patient, or I'll give you a real scenario that just happened. I couldn't believe someone actually called me on a case like this. They needed to draw bloods on a NICU, a neonatal ICU patient. Now, most of those bloods are secundus lefacius, right? But they also wanted to do a chromosomal analysis, right? Where they were going to draw some blood for that. That certainly is an elective non-sakana thing. That's an ancillary need. Are you allowed to draw the blood for the sakana ones and throw in the other ones, right? And this is a question that Tzitz Eliezer grapples with and Rosh Shlomo Zalman grappled with, and we'll come to it in a minute. The nafkamina is going to be, it's going to be very much relevant whether we hold there's a shear for this malacha or there's not a shear. All right. Last gemara that we need, and then we'll do all the practical cases, is the gemara in Ksuvos in terms of chaburi mechba and mifkad paki. What does that mean? What is the difference between those two things? So the upshot of the gemara is you're only chayiv for this malacha if it's chaburi mechba. But if it's a mifkad pakid, there's no chiyuv daraisa. What does that mean? So it depends on what the malacha is. If you hold it's netilas neshama, why would you be machalik? Why would you draw a distinction between something that's chaburi v'achbar, which means?
In the circulation.
Good. In the circulation is exactly the way to say it. As opposed to mifkad pakid, which is outside the circulation. Kind of in a container, in an abscess, or in a joint, or in a pleural effusion, or a pericardial effusion, or a spinal tap. Anyone ever see a spinal tap? Somebody very excitedly came up to their room today and said, oh, I saw a spinal tap. So I said, wow, that's great. We're going to talk about it tonight. Because a spinal tap is mifkad pakid. You're not taking out anything from circulation unless you mess up the spinal tap, which you don't want to do. But, because then people start thinking you're having a hemorrhaging type of stroke or something. It's not a good thing, right? But chaburi mechbar means within the circulation. Fits beautifully with netilas neshama, this gemara, right? Netilas neshama means you are removing the life force, so to speak. You're taking some blood, adam hu anefesh, out of the circulation, which is really the life force. Any removal of blood from that, that's netilas neshama. But if it's not in there, if dam basulim is somehow, the way Rashi describes it, contained in a pocket, somehow behind the psulim, and you're just releasing it, like opening the door, it's not really part of the life force, then that would be putter. That wouldn't be netilas neshama. Who's the one who might have a little problem with this gemara? The Rambam, right? Rambam says it's schita. Does schita have to be chaburi mechbar? Anyone ever hear such a thing? We said milking a cow is an Issur D'oraisa of Disha. Is that Chaburim Achbar or Mifkat Palkin? Anyone ever milk a cow? Anyone ever dissect an udder? I hope not. But it's Mifkat Palkin, right? For sure. And also are an oven Vizesa are Mifkat Palkin. There's no circulation within the grape, right? And there's no circulation within the udder of a cow. So what does the Rambam do here? So the Minchas Chinuch kind of throws up his hands and says, what on earth does he do? He doesn't have an answer. But the Eglei Tal, right, Kedarko, yeah, in Shabbos, he's unbelievable, always has the answer to these difficult questions. So he gives an answer for the Rambam that's going to have nafkaminas lahalacha, that we're going to be concerned with. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Share it with you. The Eglei Tal says the following. He says the Rambam is going to have to say that the difference is the depth that the fluid is contained within the item that you're extracting it from. So that if it's very, very deep, chaburei mechbar, right, then you're going to be chayiv for extracting it at all. But if it's superficial, not so deeply, then there is no iser of disha unless you actively squeeze it out, right? So if I actively squeeze the grapes, which are going to be like mifka pakid, then I'm chayiv for disha. If I actively squeeze the udder, then I'm chayiv. So this is going to be very important nafkamina. When I draw my blood, if I do it, let's say, with a vacutainer or something like that, right? There's no squeezing. I'm not squeezing anything out. I'm not applying any type of suction at all. That might be, let's say, according to the Rambam, you know, if it's mifkat pakid, which for the Rambam, most of the time these bleeding things are going to be, then it would be not even in Issur D'oraisa. So that's going to be very, very important to ascertain that. The other very important nafkamina for Chaburei Mechbar and Michlan Nafkid is cord bloods. Let's just talk about that quickly since it was brought up. Everyone know what cord bloods are? Yeah? Who knows what cord bloods are? Blood coming from the umbilical cord. Right, now, but what's the significance of them? Who here has a child? And was inundated with, you know, all these, you know, guilt feelings about, if you care about this baby, then obviously you're going to like, right? They have all this unfair advertising. It's very, very...
You don't know what to do with it.
Right, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable with the racket that's going on with it. Right. So there's a lot to talk about how all the academies of pediatrics in Europe, in America, everywhere have thought this is a bad idea to bank for yourself. Unless, chas v'shalom, you have in the family something, then it's a good idea. But if not, you should donate cord bloods. That's throwing a pitch for that. Donate cord bloods, and there is a nice Jewish organization that is trying to cover, where there's a certain number that they need, covers the entire Jewish population. And you won't need to have any personal first year $1,000 to $2,000 and every subsequent year more and more, hundreds and hundreds of dollars to keep this thing kept when you have a 1 in 200,000 chance, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, of ever needing it, lo aleinu, which is a very, very small number. And it's an ill-advised thing to do. But donating to a bank, if you can arrange it, and you got to call up the organization and they do it for you, they'll do it. It's a good idea. It's actually a very good idea. But the Jewish, all the banks, Jewish bank, the whole bank, any bank, should be filled up with these donations. And the more that are there, because cord bloods are like giving bone marrow. Without all the pain and danger, maybe of Neupogen and other ways of deriving bone marrow, or stem cells. They're adult stem cells that are good for any type of, malignancies, blood malignancies, but they also can be used in many other areas and many significant uses. It's a very kedai thing to have. The relevance to us is, what about if the birth is on Shabbos? Are you allowed to draw out, is a Jew allowed to draw out on Shabbos the cord bloods? So what's the problem? So there's a whole slew of potential problems, but for today, we're interested in Chavala. Where would Chavala come in? How do they get the cord bloods? Well, everyone knows baby's born. What's the first thing that happens next? Everyone gets all excited. Right? Second, right? After that, tie off the cord, right? And we cut the cord, and baby goes. Are they taking the cord bloods before the baby's taken away or after?
After.
Good. For sure, right? And then, now, they're taking blood with a syringe and a on a needle out of the cord that is what attached to what? What's the on the other side of the cord? One side's the baby, on the side is the placenta, right? Now, very good. When you take blood out of a cord attached to a placenta, is that chavala or not? If it is, you cannot do it on Shabbos. Absolutely awesome. Why? Because you can't do it in Sidaraisa for such a hypothetical Sakanas Nefashos. It's far from Chalafaneinu. It's not even close. So nobody that I know of will be matir this because of Sakanas Nefashos. So if it's an Issur D'oraisa, we got a big problem. So is it? What's the definition of Chavala according to Rov Rishonim? Netilas Neshama. What do you need for Netilas Neshama? Circulatory blood. Is the blood, right, on a cord that's attached to a placenta with no baby, circulatory blood? It's the $24,000 question, right? So, did you guys learn about placental circulation? Did you? Right. So is it conventional circulation? No, it's very different. But what's even more important, before you can get into this whole discussion if we were in the mood, about what's going on at the placental end in terms of the circulation. But we don't even have to go there, right? That would be a whole discussion. I once called up Zalman Levine. Anyone heard of Zalman Levine? You should hear of him. He's an amazing guy. He's a doctor. He's a fertility expert. But he's a rub. Big Talmud Chacham, and he's just holding in this area, unbelievable. So, in emergencies, I call him up, and I say, "Tell me, Zalman, is the placental circulation considered a circulation?" And he goes, "What are you talking about? Who cares?" I said, "Well," I tell him this whole thing. Is it chavala? Is it not chavala? He says, "Oh, that's an interesting question, but not sure." But what is definitive? What's happening at the other end of the cord? Nothing. How can it be circulation? There's no circulator. It's not circulating. So I think already, I've gone over this for years and worried about it, but I think it's postured that it's not. But is that good enough? Because we got the Rambam. That's the problem. Right? I think that in terms of Netilas Neshama, it's not Netilas Neshama.
But why is it not in circulation? Meaning if you... like
there are two arteries in a vein in every umbilical cord. And the arteries are going out of the fetal heart, so they're going back to the mother, but now there's no fetal heart attached to them. So there's nothing driving anything through those arteries. Now, the vein is coming from the mother, but the vein is also clamped off, hopefully, unless, you know, there was an unintelligent move made here that...
So as long as you clamped it off...
Yeah, there's just no circulation.
Why is it dependent on circulation? Does it depend on if there's an issue or not?
What? There's no issue, right, exactly. I think it's Dabra Pashu. Right, exactly. But the problem is the Rambam. Could it still be, even from this like dangling cord, right? Which is, let's assume, which I think we could safely assume, but you know, we'll let the poskim decide. I once tried speaking to a certain poskim on this issue, and they were wondering, you know, they weren't holding in the medicine enough, but they wanted to put off the shiloh. But I think that part's not a shiloh. But what about the Rambam? Is this a problem for the Rambam? And the answer is quite conceivably yes, it is. And therefore, the majority psak, and almost everybody, does not allow cord blood extraction by a Jew on Shabbos. If it's a non-Jew, then it could be okay. He's matir by a Jew? Whoa. Okay. Yeah. We'll have to see. Do you know on what basis he's not worried about the Rambam?
He is, but it says that it doesn't
need to
be shown,
you're
not applying any pressure.
Oh, he uses that glital. Right? In other words, because you're not really squeezing out. But then that becomes a discussion of you're using a syringe and you're sucking it out. If you let it go, which was a pshara that people suggested, and now I see where they got it from. They got it from that tshuva. Let it drip out. Right? You'll never get enough cord blood. Right? So they always have to do a syringe. So he has to be holding that pulling it out with a syringe doesn't equal that squeezing action that the Eglital is worried about. The Mifka pocket for the Rambam. You have to say that.
Right.
About, like, kosher, right. Okay, good. So he's the only one I know that paskins the Shiloh, actually.
Yeah, he has two
Shilohs. Right. Because everyone else that writes about it, right, says not to do it on Shabbos. Unless you get a Nochri to do it. So, but Rav Asher Weiss, that's very important to know that.
If we had a Jewish,
who was doing it, who was joined. So Yisrael and Moshe was. You ended up not having a baby and child. So like, okay. He said not to.
Yeah.
Right. That's the conventional psalm. But that's a very important truth, I should see. Okay. Anyway, so let's get to all the practical questions, right? Just on page 4, I wanted you to see, do we paskin like this Rambam or not? Or just go with Rav Rishonim? It would have been nice and simple if we could have just gone with Rav Rishonim and Mitilas Rishonim, end of story. And then we can navigate a lot of things. But what happens is the Mishnah Berurah at first sounds like he's going, strictly speaking, like Netilas Hashem Rav Rishonim, that's what this malacha is. But in the Bir Halacha, and in the Mishnah Berurah later, he brings in the Rambam, so it sounds like, even though it's a bit of a suffix, and you should ask your personal posig, if you are allowed to use, assume, only Netilas Hashem and not worry about the Chumras of the Rambam, right? Because the Mishnah Berurah presents both. He presents both. He doesn't come out and say, but he implies that we should be choshish for the Rambam also. And we're going to see how Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Nishmas Avraham and all the practical halachas are going to be doing that. We're going to be taking into account both. So let's get started on it. So on page 5, first things first. Are you allowed to donate blood on Shabbos? Is it a problem of Netilas Neshama? Of course. Unless you're taking it from like a hematoma, which would be, you know, nonsensical, right? Case? You're taking it from the circulation, so therefore it is definitely Netilas Neshama.
Is there ever a
case
now, where you do that?
Yes, right? And even if you see in Shmir Shabbos, he actually talks about it. So how does it work? Anyone ever be involved in what happens when you have, let's say, a chola in the hospital who needs transfusions? And the family, let's say, wants exclusive donation. They don't want to use any, right? They want to donor-designated blood only, right? Which, by the way, many doctors are against because they think the dangers are higher in donor-designated. There's less testing going on or something, which is crazy. Everybody gets tested fully for all infectious diseases. But let's say there's a rare blood type or something where we need specifically a donation, or the Shmir Shabbos creates the scenario where it's just not available. Right, and the only way that I could see that happening is with a rare blood type, but maybe in Eretz Yisrael they encountered it if there was a blood shortage, lo aleinu, or something like that. So, can you donate on Shabbos? So the answer is yes. Is that blood going to be used on Shabbos? No, it's going to be used after Shabbos. Can you still do it on Shabbos? Of course. The sooner you get it, the better. So that's definitely sakanas nefashos. So under those conditions, yes. Anything else? Stam blood donation? No, that's going to be another not chol lefanenu. If it's not mamash chol lefanenu, when a person stam gives blood, right? So what happens to that blood? What's the percentage that actually gets used for a chola? It's probably, I don't know the exact numbers now, but I remember when I once looked into it, it's less than 50%. You know, there's like research, some of it goes, a lot of it's discarded because it just goes into a bank. So it's very, very not direct. It's very not a chol lefanenu maneuver to do. And there's a tshuva, I think, in Igros Moshe, where he's even discussing donating blood for money, right? And one of the issues is it mutter or not to donate blood for money? Because not only is chavala aser on Shabbos as a malacha, but you're not allowed to be chovel to yourself altogether. So, but letzorech you can. So for refuah you certainly can. So the shaila was, is getting money for donating blood enough of a tzorach? So, is that legal? I don't know of anyone, any organization that's doing it, but I don't think it's illegal. But organs are. Organs in the United States is illegal. Organs in the United States. And that's an interesting debate, whether they should be or not. Right. Incentives. Instead, you get a cookie, you get a good cookie, some orange juice.
That's the
Anshe. Oh, stam, because of Chabala. Right. Well, that would probably be a tzarach. Right. I think because the tzar of the Chabala, which is the problem with Chabala, not on Shabbos, is so minimal that, you know, that tzarach would probably trump it, because it's a good idea for someone to practice on other students before the innocent patients get it. All right. So that's an easy one, really. And simply, if there's a need, do it. You can do it. If you're not, not. What about blood tests? Right? You need to draw blood for tests. So what? Under what is that chavala? Let's start with that. Of course it is. You need the blood. You're doing chavala. It's pshita that that's a chavala. Isur daraisa. Under what circumstances can you do that? V'chola. Sheyesh bo sakana. Now here's where it gets interesting. So let's say I have a chola shein bo sakana. I'm allowed to draw blood for a chola shein bo sakana. It's an isur daraisa. But what can I do in isur daraisa? I can do amir l'nachri. Okay. See if you can do that. Or Shinoi. Now here's what you gotta be crazy. Although this book suggests again doing this Bishinoi too. There is one setting where you can really do a Bishinoi. Anyone know what I'm talking about? So let's say those finger sticks for, let's say, a person with diabetes who's doing many finger sticks, there's now a device that is used to do the finger stick to make it simpler. Instead of them having to poke themselves, they just set this thing up. That can be done Bishinoi. So that's an example of where you should. Let's say it's somebody who needs a certain number of checking, and there's it's a scenario where it's a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana situation. That could be done even on Shabbos if you do it Bishinoi. There's a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana.
How do you define a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana in these cases when you're doing a test?
Right. So
gives you something that...
Right. So I'll give you an example. I'll give you one that's more straightforward. There is, like, even the Shemir Shabbos over here in Halacha Chaf Ches. Chol HaShem Bo Sakana She'osin Lo Sviras Dam O Sukkar Kama Pamim B'Shavua. This is what I was just talking about. Let's say you have a diabetic who's a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana, right? And he has to have a certain number of checks per week. Or some other type of illness where you're checking bloods at certain intervals. So you should definitely set it up that you don't do that on Shabbos. That's what the Shmir Shabbos is going to say. It should be set up in a way that you avoid Shabbos. Or the more common scenario is the following. When you have an ICU patient or a Sakana patient who needs bloods that are nogea to the Sakana and bloods that are not nogea to the Sakana, there are many bloods that will check that don't need to be done on Shabbos. You know, like when there's, let's say, somebody who is being worked up for some kind of connective tissue disorder or some kind of issue where there's like a whole slew of rheumatological blood tests. I don't know if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but just in general terms for you, there will be scenarios where there'll be critical bloods, chemistries. You know, you got to know his sodium, his potassium, all his blood chemistries. You have to know his CBC. That's always going to be very critical. A blood gas, that's going to be critical. But then there's a whole bunch of other things that are not so important to know right away. Things like chromosomes, things that are going to be for elective. And believe it or not, you know what else goes on in hospitals? People are doing research. So they throw in things that they need, not for the patient's health, right? But in a teaching hospital, it's allowed, believe it or not. I don't know who foots the bill, whatever. But, whoops. Obviously, the researching people will foot the bill. There, you're definitely throwing in ancillary labs that are not. Those aren't even Chol HaShem Bo Sakana, arguably, right? So what do you do with those? So you're not allowed to draw them on Shabbos. However, the big question becomes, what if you are going to be drawing the blood for Sakana? Can I just add on? Can I just add on these extra bloods and say, you know, I'm putting it all together as one pa'ula, one maisa, and the malacha itself is mutter because of sakanas nefashos? What's the big deal if I take a larger amount? So what's going to be relevant here?
What happens when you don't take different bodies?
Right. All right, so let's go through the hierarchy.
Good. Where you just pull it
over. Let's work it through, right? Because that's going to be very important. Number one, pshita, that to do multiple sticks, that's multiple malachos. Right? So that's not going to be good.
Multiple sticks.
In other words, if I draw from this vein, right? So first of all, even your Sakana bloods, you should try to do in one stick. Right? Now, it doesn't always work out that way. You do your best. Especially if you're not going to do a Shino, you have a better shot of doing this well. Right? You should try, though, to get it in one stick, all the bloods. Right? You have a big syringe. You'll see one day. Anyone here done clinical stuff yet? No. So you did some. Right? So you'll see that you're going to be drawing out a lot of bloods at once, and it's better to do it all at once than having to go multiple times. Why would you want to do that to the patient anyway, right? So that's pashut, though. Now let's say what you were just talking about. Let's say you put in a setup for a vacutainer. What that is you put in the needle. It could be a butterfly. It could be a straight syringe or whatever it is. And you're going to hook it up with a double needle and then keep sticking on these vacutainers, test tubes, that just draw it out. So as Alex was alluding to, each time you put on a new tube, it's a new Maisa Chavala. Because what's Chavala? Drawing the blood out of the circulation. And every time you put a new vacutainer on, you're drawing out. It's a new Maisa Chavala for sure. So that's Pshita too. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the following. I have my big 20cc syringe or more, and I have a whole bunch of bloods to do. That's not uncommon at all. And I want to draw them all out. So I'm going to do one pull, right, and take them all out, including the non-sakana-related labs. What's the halacha? What might it depend on? So we can't go through the whole sugi of Marba Bishur, but it's a very fascinating sugi. When I spoke about this like 10 years ago here, we went through Marba Bishur in great detail, because it's a lot of fun, actually. It's a very exciting sugi. It's little Shabbos, little Yanta, Marba Bishur, and the big machlokis, a lot of lumdas there. Bottom line, Alach Lamaisa on it, is that the Ran holds it's Daraisa, the Rashman and Tosfos hold that it's the Rabbanan, but it's definitely Usser to do Marba Bishur. Now, if I'm pulling back on a syringe, if the malacha has a shear to it, then every time that shear is passed, like the gogeres, every time I do that, it's another iser. So what's going to be a nafkamina here? Rambam versus Netilas Neshama. Because the Rambam has a shear. And Netilas Neshama, there is no shear. It's a kol shehud. So kol shehud is actually an advantage in this case, right? It's a chumr legabe the amount. Legabe marbib shirim, kol shehud is actually a kula. So that you won't, you know, if we were only dealing with Tinas Neshama, we could have done this much more easily. It would have been one maisa, right? But the truth of the matter is, when you're pulling out that syringe and keeping the tension going, what can that be viewed at? Viewed as a continuous maisa. So everyone's machmir on this. No one allows, and the psak in the Nishmas Avram, is you can't use a syringe and get the extra labs. However, Shlomo Zalman allows one big vacutainer. If you have one vacutainer that pulls out all the bloods, and you're not pulling back, he's matir it. And you could see that on the next page, on page 6, over there on the left. That's the psak. It's a very fascinating psak. It's not that open to application. There's very few scenarios where you're going to have some big accutainer that you're going to draw out a lot of different bloods in it and then start taking them out later and dividing them up. So I don't know how much practical application is. The truth of the matter is that Tzitz Eliezer, who also paskins this l'chumra, his suggestion is even a little more interesting or out there. He says that what you should do is the Yisrael could put the needle in and have a nochri do the pulling back. I don't know where you're going to get such an arrangement. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael they can arrange for it. Don't think you're going to get it while you're working around most of the hospitals over here. Unless you have, like, I was privileged, I told you about my Saudi Arabian prince who was willing to be my Shabbos goy for 2 years. So that would have been the kind of thing he would have done for me. But without a prearrangement, it's not really a practical solution.
How often does an attending do this? Intern-resident?
Intern-resident all the time. Intern-resident all the time.
So how is it?
Attendings? Almost never, unless they are, you know, in a smaller hospital, community hospital, the attendings, you know, I remember what turned me off OBGYN when I was a medical student, is seeing all these old guys, like, hanging out with me overnight, you know, doing all the things I was doing. you know, just they're still doing it, putting in lines, drawing bloods, everything. So attendings can be doing it also, depending on what you go into.
When you're a resident, is it possible to do
Shabbos? Shabbos residency.
Let's say you don't get a Shabbos residency, so is it possible to just say, I'm not taking these extra?
You do it after Shabbos. Now, what's the problem with doing it after Shabbos? You're sticking a patient in an extra time. Now, the two scenarios. It's interesting, Tzitzeliezer presents this issue in two scenarios. I'll show you the solution.
Wait.
Let's say it's a sakana, right? In other words, sometimes you have to draw blood, let's say in a baby. You don't always have superficial veins that are easily accessible, so they're either going to need a central line, which is a deeper, much more dangerous thing to do, or even an arterial stick, which is also a much more dangerous thing to do. So the Tzitzeliezer paskins, anything where there's additional sakana to causing another stick, for sure you could do all the marbe b'shirim you want. So even if you just join chromosomes, but if you see that it's a additional sakana. So for example, a very precarious patient, who's not a neonate, but like an adult, who's precarious, where every stick is a potential sakana to that person, and it's a suffix sakana, that's enough of a warrant to do it. The other possibility really is to ask somebody to do it for you. And I'll tell you the truth. The reason that you run into it rarely these days is now there are IV teams and blood drawing teams in most hospitals, and they, you know, need help. So a lot of times house staff are still drawing, but to ask them to do particular ones, you can always do. So when it comes down to it, that would be another out. Stat. Right. It's true in large centers, right? It is not true. You have to understand many doctors work in small hospitals where they don't afford that luxury. You're used to it, you know, maybe like in Monty and Jacoby and or whatever. But it could be, no, it could be anywhere.
I've heard that it might depend on the quality of your
hospital. Right. It pays to be nice to them in general. But don't alienate them, because they won't show up. Right. I mean, practically speaking, you'll see that. I don't think it'll be a make it or break it issue, but you'd be well to sort of anticipate it and see what mechanisms you're going to bring into play when it happens. Worst comes to worse. It's not hard for an elective lab to be forgotten and done after. All right, but you can't. But it is usher. There's no. No one is matir the actively drawing bloods that are ancillary. Svardin might have an easier time because they paskin the kula on the ancillary needs of a cholish yesh pasakam. So if you're Svardi psak like Magid Mishnah Chaber, as opposed to Rama who's not going that way. That's when it's more of a problem. All right. Quickly, what about taps? Spinal taps or pericardiocentesis, which means if there's a pericardial infusion, that's usually, if you're tapping a pericardial infusion, it's a kind of nephrosis. However, pleural effusions, not necessarily so. For example, my wife's aunt currently is having a problem with chylothorax, right? Her doctor suggested, I'm not exactly happy with this suggestion, but suggested, you know what, we can't figure out exactly what's going on with you. What you should do is, we'll set up a system, you'll just come in and we'll tap you. You'll go a few days, you'll accumulate all this fluid in your chest, and then we'll tap you. So he's creating an elective sort of tapping of the pleural space, which is not a smart idea because you should figure out what's going on, but in that case. But in other cases, there are people, unfortunately, who have these chronic effusion states, and sometimes they end up with a certain surgery that will help defend against it, but until then, they are getting tapped, not besakana. So are you allowed to do that to a cholashim besakana? Or someone whose knee, that's more common even, someone who has a swollen knee. Why are you tapping the knee? So either for function, but diagnosis also. Is that need to be done on Shabbos? Absolutely not. It's cholashim besakana. Are you allowed to do it? Yeah. It's an issur derabanan. It's not chaburei mechbar. It is not an issur deraisa. All these are mifkad pakid. All these mifkad pakid cases are actually not issuri deraisa, right? And you're allowed to do them. It is, but a chol shem esakana. It's mutter to do the issur derabanan.
No, I'm saying why is that? Why is doing that?
Why is it not an issur deraisa? What's
why
the issur?
It's
asur midirabanan.
Why is it not?
Not us. Why is it mutter?
Why is it not mutter? Yes.
Why is it even
an
issur?
Yeah, why is it an issur to begin with?
Right, one could argue. One could argue that it might be, but it depends. And that's a good segue into the next point. What it'll depend on is also how you're doing this. Let's say someone has an abscess, right? So are you allowed to open an abscess, get the pus out on Shabbos? Yes, right? That's what we're talking about now. That's mifkad pakid mutter. Are you allowed to do an IND? Anyone know what an IND is? Incision and drainage. What's the difference between doing incision and drainage and just pulling out pus from an abscess? Anyone know? Quickly? Big difference. One is an umnus, right, which means it's a professional craft. When you do an IND, it's not just a problem of chavala, it's bona, right? You're setting up a drainage. You're being bone as something, an outlet. That is an issur d'oraisa. That you could not do. But just to puncture it, ein hachinami, if you're just pulling out from nifkad pakid, that the pus would definitely be mutter.
I thought bone is only if it's
an l'achlis and l'hotzi.
Right.
So this is oxygen radicals coming in to fight the infection. That's what generally people say, legabe, being bone in on the body this way.
Unless it's blood, it's not
shaykh
to chavala at all.
I'm not talking about chavala. I'm talking about maki bepatish. We're not really maki bepatish because but bone.
That doesn't matter
for. No, but that's why it's not chavala, right? If this,
chavala,
in other words, I'm saying we're out of the gedder of chavala, right? This whole discussion is not a chavala discussion, right? Because it's mifkad pakid. Could it ever be an issur d'oraisa? Yes, if it's an IND. Correct. Well, it's not part of the circulation. If you had a hematoma and someone drained the hematoma by pulling out the hematoma, that's also outside the circulation. It's a lot of blood.
It's blood that's not in the circulation.
No, it's anything. Mifka pocket is in the Gemara over there by Dan Basulim. It happens to be that. But it's like Mifka pocket means that the fluid, whatever it is outside the circulation. What about IVs? This is very important. Is placing an IV in issur derabanan or issur deraisa? So what are we doing? Where's the chavala? Let's see. Whoever put an IV in? Yes. You know you're in if you get the flesh, and you got to see the flesh, otherwise you might not be in. Does that constitute tzarech ladam? So major machlok is between Rosh Hashanah Zalman and the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer says, I don't think so. Right? I don't think so. I don't think that that's really an example of Tzarech Ladam. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, yes, it is. One of his rayas, he has some nice rayas. Right? And we pass him like Rav Shlomo Zalman, at least Shmir Shabbos does, Nishmas Avram does, the classic Sfarim, all the other English books out there, everybody's following Shlomo Zalman on this, holding that IVs are d'oraisa. You can only place an IV on the Chol HaShiyesh Basakana. This is one of the biggest challenges to non-Shomer Shabbos residencies. There's so many scenarios where there's like routine IV placement, right? Keep a vein open, get an IV in. Almost in an ER, it's a very common thing. Oh, you know, you're waiting around, let's put the IV in. You might end up being discharged altogether. You're not a Chol HaShiyesh Basakana, but we want to have that access, just in case, right? And that's not a Chol HaLefaneinu Bichlal. Can you do that? No. Be paskin, no. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer paskins, yes. So you should ask your local posek, can I rely, if I'm in this position, where they're forcing me in my program to put in IVs, to not chol HaShiyesh Basakana, can I rely on the Tzitz Eliezer, who's mako on this shaila? Even though, you know, the majority poskim don't go that way. What about an IM or a sub-Q injection, right, which is common in the chol HaShiyesh Basakana? Right?
Is it
Chavala?
Is there what? Is there a secret?
So whoever has gotten an IM injection here, anybody? You all did, right? Did you bleed?
No.
Right. So it's funny. I've never gotten one where I didn't bleed, right? But nevertheless, is there any kavana to that bleeding? Am I being miskaven to bleed? When I put an IV in, am I being miskaven to get that flesh? For sure I am. But when you do an IM or sub Q, you're not. So davar shem miskaven. But let's say it is a psikration. You guys seem to think that. I think yes. Let's go with me. Even if it's a psikration, which means guaranteed, it's davar shem miskaven, but it's definitely going to make bleeding. But it's what kind? Deloni chalai. So everyone is makil on IM and sub Q injections, right? This comes in very handy. Very, very handy. Like, let's say someone comes in with a kidney stone, and they're not a chol sheim b'shish b'sakana. My brother walks around with kidney stones all the time, right? So, but, you know, every now and then he needs a little Demerol or morphine or something to tide him over, you know? He gives, like, lectures and got his pain in his kidney stone, but sometimes the pain's a little unbearable, so he'll get his little injection. Now, should he get it IV or IM? So if it's on Shabbos, should he get it IM? IM's better anyway. Why? Lasts longer. IV runs out much quicker. Better to get IM if you're going to want longer pain relief. But IM and sub-Q are good to go, even for chola she'im bo sakana.
Doesn't it need to be a chola she'im bo sakana because
you're right.
It
needs to be at least the chola she'im bo sakana. Right. So someone who comes in, here's a problem. Where does that become a problem?
Vaccine.
PPDs. Also, guys come in to the ER like I'm about to do. I need a PPD to work, continue working in my hospital. My PPD from last year is up. I need it every year, right? So I usually just walk into the ER or something and say, give me a PPD. Now, I'm not going to do that on Shabbos. PPD is not, I'm not a chol sheyesh b'sakana, ein b'sakana, any sakana, right? So that would be one that you should stay away from. But that would be a residency problem also, because let's say the head of your program comes in and you're on in the ER on Shabbos and he says, can I have my PPD? I'm sorry, are you a chol sheyesh b'sakana? It's not going to hold up well. But there are many scenarios where you're going to do the IM and the sub-Q where it'll be advantageous to know that those are only Isuri Derabanan. It's a psik resha de lo nichala. Not mutter legamre, as you were alluding to.
If it's a davar shem miskaven, suppose that it is.
If it's not a psik resha like I said, then you're good to go. Then it's mutter legamre. Absolutely. All right, you had a question?
What
makes it Rabbanan to make it like the tzarach? Like,
it's in other words,
like, it's asumi Rabbanan, right? Sikresha, the loan yichalei, is asumi Rabbanan, right? According to the Aruch, it's motu legamre. According to Tosfos, right? Dafkuf Zayin and Shabbos, there's machlokis over exactly how this works out, right? Famous Vandas in the Rav Elchanan, right? That the way he does it, there's davar she'ein miskaven is mutter. Psik reisha makes it into a davar hamiska. But shelo nichalei is not like a malacha shematzricha leguf. That's what Tosfos says at the end of the book. So therefore, it's going to be only asa midirabah. Another question? So let's see, what else did we not cover? Oh, quickly, last thing. What about prepping the area, taking out the syringes, setting up the syringe? So, oh, and what about the LP kit? These are a whole bunch of things that are all the things that surround all the things we've been talking about. In the hospital, now that we're in the 21st century, in our very upwardly mobile hospitals, so you get kits for everything. You're going to put a central line in, you get a kit. You're going to do an LP, you're going to get a kit. You do any type of tap, you're going to get a kit. So the first thing you want to do is rip open the top. Don't take off the top because that's korea from the glue that they're glued on. So one thing that's suggested by the poskim is like rip it open, mi makalkel. And then don't make a kli out of the kit. Now, I should warn you, anytime you're going to compromise sterility, disregard all of halacha, right? It's sakaras nefashos to introduce an infection to somebody, and you're crazy if you would ever take a chance on doing something like that. So the moment you suspect, and sometimes the poskim were not, let's say, aware of all the pitfalls of the sterility issue. Because you'll see they're going to tell you, prepare all your syringes before Shabbos, right? Which means take them out of their sterile packaging, and all your bandages and everything. Don't do that, right? Because anything, you know, if it's not an issue of sterility, fine, but usually it is. So keep things sterile. There is a whole machlokis over whether putting the needle on the syringe is an iser binyan or not, if it's bone. The Chazon Ish and the Rav Yitzchak Weiss both held l'chumra, that that's bona. But Rav Shlomo Zalman and many other poskim were makel on it. So what people advised, what the poskim came out, the halacha, try to have, and many times the setup is this way right from the get-go, that the needle is on the syringe before Shabbos. Right? Kept sterile, of course. But if, let's say, it doesn't work out that way, so you're allowed to. You're allowed to attach it. They say it's better to attach it straight than to screw it on, but you're not going to have the luxury of deciding which one of those options is available to you. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, at the end of the day, is mekil. He says that if you have to, just do it. Don't worry about the Chazon Ish and Rav Yitzchak Weiss, that you'll have to do what you have to do. In terms of prep, in terms of sterility, what's the best way to sterilize an area for a needle, for an IV, or for a blood draw? So, what do you usually use? Anyone done this? So, if you have a saturated alcohol pad, that's not a good thing. Right? Anything where there's a problem of potential schizo, good, best to avoid. So, what they recommend doing is you pour, if you can, this is not always available, you pour on alcohol, and then you dab it with sterile, dry cotton or gauze. Right? That would be the best way to do it. Second best is if you have not saturated swabs and things. And third best is to just very carefully, right? I'll tell you, when you're doing central lines and things like that, let's say you're doing a neckline or a femoral line, you're usually going to be using pouring things most of the time anyway, so it works out well. Sometimes they give you these little tinfoil kits that are saturated. The truth of the matter is, it's unusual that you're going to have the luxury of having this accommodated. You know, you're going to, in a scenario where you're doing this, if it's Sakanas Nefashos Pshita, just get going. You know, don't worry about little things like this at this point. But otherwise, if you do have any, let's say you're used to being on call and you know this, what to expect, and these things are predictable, then of course it would be good to arrange to avoid this issue and set up the ideal. The ideal being, again, pour on the alcohol or the iodine or whatever you're using to prep, and then use a dry something that's sterile to wipe it off.
We were discussing this a couple of minutes ago, and we were talking about how the alcohol pads might be synthetic, maybe
right, so this, first, it's not deraisa anyway. So this is part of doing a kalakal, you know, just to minimize, right? Because it's not only that, but it's also not... Not only is it not going to do with the karka, it might be like not the natural way this thing is, the fluid is in there. It's an unnatural object. Also can get it out of
the system. This seems like something that might be achieved, right? I'm not entirely sure that.
You could, as long as you keep the field sterile.
Yeah.
Right? You just got to make sure you don't fool around with anything like that. There's no worse avera in medicine than to introduce an infection. Right? So I want to repeat, never compromise on that, no matter what. Like the halacha would be very lenient if that was your, you know, impetus was to avoid infection, whatever you need to do. But yeah, if you could do it with Shino, it'd be great.
Like it doesn't require that much.
Could, yeah, and especially if you're dealing with Chalashim Basakana, then, you know, for sure. Okay, very good. Next week we're going to really get out of Shabbos for a while. And enter some of these.